And Hi, Weftland. You're listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is, of course, the only place to go for all things local. It's it. That's your only option. SmilePolitely.com for everything about local arts, food and drink, news, culture, tech, music, and so much more. I'm your host, Sean, and I'm, as always, joined by my co-host, Rebecca. Shout from afar.
Hello. I always laugh when you make me shout from afar because it's not like I do anything.
You shout from afar. Our opening track was She's Just That Kind of Girl by Lucero off of their Rebels, Rogues, and Sworn Brothers album. Great band, I think, from Memphis, but don't quote me on that. Our guest today is the Honorable Anthony Benjamin, the manager, brewer, and owner of Triptych Brewing in Savoy. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no problem.
And thanks for bringing brews.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So just to start us off real quick, catch us up to speed. Triptych Brewery. How long has it been around? What was the story? There's some brouhaha about getting started.
Triptych Brewing is a small microbrewery in Savoy. We are about to celebrate our second anniversary. We started the week of Valentine's Day 2 years ago. And, you know, we're a really small microbrewery. Last year we did about 400 barrels. A barrel of beer is 31 gallons, about 250 pints, give or take. And so, you know, we're a small, tiny place. We distribute throughout Champaign-Urbana, dozens of restaurants and bars and cool places to hang out. And
how easy would you say it is to start a brewery? For all of those, like, dreamers out there, like, I've got my, like, internet-ordered homebrew kit.
Yeah, I've got my equipment on the way, and I'm ready to do it. You know, alcohol is the most highest regulated industry to get into at all. So You know, we have like 5 different insurance policies. We have 6 different licenses. Every month I fill out government reports to 3 different agencies. you know, it's not,
that's not funny.
You,
not funny.
You know, if you enjoy paperwork and bureaucracy, then it's perfect business for you.
Did you say bureaucracy?
Yeah, bureaucracy. That's right. I wish it was that kind of bureaucracy. Yeah.
So how did you get started with brewing before Triptych?
Yeah. So in 2005, I moved here. My wife and I moved here for her to go to law school, and I needed something to do. She was spending a lot of time at law school. I guess it takes up, you know, I guess it's a hard thing to do or something. So one time I was sitting at home, and I was really into cooking for a long time, and Alton Brown had a show called Good Eats on the Food Network, and I was watching an episode about home brewing, and I realized that this is something that people did. So I convinced her that that's what I should do while she's busy going to class, and I started homebrewing, and I got really into it. And, you know, it was a creative outlet at first, and then when I discovered there was places to send beer and competitions and judging and all this, then it was like a competitive outlet. And and it, you
went from relaxing to competition pretty quickly.
Yeah, and then I got really, you know, they just got obsessed with it, and it was about 2009 that, you know, maybe something clicked, and I was sitting at work one day, you know, and I worked in IT, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, this would be, brewing would be a lot better than this. And
I wish I could be brewing, you know?
Yeah, and it was at the time, I mean, craft brewing was starting to hit, I mean, just its peak of you know, society and social awareness, and all these things are happening, and so I thought, man, this is the time to do it if I'm going to do it. So started kind of working the plans together.
Yeah. I'm curious, what breweries or beers specifically sort of like inspired your creative endeavors,
you know,
or still do?
Yeah, I think a wide variety of stuff, and I kind of take it upon myself as, you know, as hard work as it is to taste a lot of other beers, and so
sounds rough.
It is tough. You know, last night I was in the Blind Pig Brewery having some of Bill's latest beers, and so I mean I like drinking any beer really just to get an idea. A lot of times though, it's not beer that inspires me so much as like a food or a situation. Or, I mean, so in the case of food, like we have a beer on right now called Valentine. It's a chocolate cherry stout. And when I always think of Valentine's Day, I think of those like really, those chocolate cordial cherries that, you know, they come in a box and no one really, you know, nobody really wants a box of those, but you seem to have one. I mean, it's Valentine's Day.
Of course.
It's just like Easter where, you know, those little eggs that have that fondant inside of them. I mean, you've got to eat one of those around Easter. And so all I could think of is if we're going to make a Valentine's Day beer, it's got to be, you know, a stout that's kind of like that. And so, you know, there's a lot of chocolate cherry stouts out there, but ours is really, you know, it's all about chocolate and cocoa, and that other stuff is kind of secondary to that. And so it's, you know, I'll be walking around or talking to someone, and that's when some kind of inspiration happens. I mean, I think we're really in the golden age of beer right now, and there's so many good beers out there to try from so many different breweries. I mean, you go to Friar Tuck's. I mean, my wife will tell you I can spend, you know, 45 minutes in there just like walking up and down the aisle. Like, well, I haven't seen this one before. Oh, I haven't seen this one before.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she won't even go there with me anymore. She's just like, I'm not going to, you know, stand around while you sit there and drool over these beers.
That counts as research at this point.
Yeah, that's a business expense too. Like, you just fill up the whole cart with a business expense. It's all great.
So I know that, like home brewing is a huge thing now, but I don't know anything about the process of brewing, either at, you know, the stage of kind of home brewing or what it's like to actually have a brewery. What
sure.
are the kind of different steps involved once you come up with a recipe idea? You know, where do you go from there?
Yeah. So, you know, the basis of beer is the biggest basis of beer is water. But after you have, you know, water, malted barley is a really important part of it. And so malted barley comes in different colors and roasts and flavors and different component kind of pieces of it. And it really, you just kind of assemble it like a cooking recipe. The barley is kind of the base of it. So a lot of it, you'll use some, what's called a base malt, which is like a pretty normal, light flavored, barley. And then you'll add specialty malts like crystallized or roasted malts to give it other flavors and highlights. And then the hops kind of come in, at different points, depending on the kind of beer style you're making. Most beer styles use at least a little bit of hops called bittering hops. And then a lot of, you know, the really, sexy beer styles right now, like IPAs and pale ales and stuff, use a ton of other hops throughout the process. And when you're brewing and then dry hopping and things like that. So, you know, a brew day at a homebrew or even at Triptych, you know, takes 8 to 10 hours, and then it's the waiting, you know, on a homebrew scale, you might wait a month before it's done. At Triptych, generally all of our beer is done within 12 to 14 days. From the day we brew it to the day it's on draft and ready to have.
Is that just because you can't wait any longer?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. I just get so excited. No, I mean, you know, at a bigger scale, there's some different things, some physics and some microbiology things that come into play that allow us to kind of speed up the beer process quite a bit. We reuse our yeast a lot, and so our yeast is ready and rocking to go. But at home brewer, like, he's going to open up a package and, like, put it in there, and his yeast has, like, a certain amount of lag time. It has to get up to speed. And then for us also, if you've gone to Triptych, we have some really big fermenters. They're not really big, but, I mean, they're 7-barrel fermenters. And so that height of beer pushing down on the cone of those vessels actually inhibits some of the ester formation that the yeast would normally do. And it helps us kind of higher temperature, which makes the yeast go faster, but doesn't impact the flavor as much as you would expect, like on a home brewing scale.
So what's on tap currently at
We have eight different beers on right now, kind of spanning the gamut of light to dark, hoppy to malty. I mean, we have our cream ale called Indigenous on. It's a really light beer, kind of a throwback style to before Prohibition days. We have Dirty Hippie, which is our World Beer Cup silver medal winning English brown ale. We have a sour fruit beer called Love Bite. It's a raspberry sour ale. We've got a couple IPAs, a American barley wine that was brewed actually for the local homebrews club, their birthday, their 21st birthday. And
that's a 10.1%, I see.
Yeah. You know, it's for when you grow up and you're ready. It's also over 100 IBUs, and IBUs are a relative measure of bitterness for beer. And so over 100, like 100 is pretty much, you know,
a bitter beer.
Yeah, and it's not a just a linear scale. And so it's, you know, when you're at 100, it's not 10 times hoppier than 10. It's, you know, it's serious. And then chocolate cherry stout, and I think there's one or two others that I'm missing on there. But, you know, at Triptych, we've been, it'll be 2 years next week, and we've done 85 different beers. And that doesn't count, you know, the times that we've rebrewed, like, you know, Dirty Hippie, for instance, we've brewed probably 10 or 12 times. Mm-hmm. So it's, you blink your eyes and you miss a beer at Triptych. And because, you know, there's 7-barrel batches in it, and it seems like, you know, wow, 2,000 pints or whatever, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And, but they're gone before, you know what? Yeah. So, you know, something that kind of has changed lately is we're really focused on kind of setting up some beers that are always available, because we have a lot of people, especially after the Dirty Hippie, the World Beer Cup thing, a lot of people keep coming back. When is, you know, where is Dirty Hippie? Why isn't it on? We have a couple other beers like that.
What are you doing?
Yeah, are you sitting around doing nothing? And so, you know, we've kind of significantly expanded capacity in the last few months. And with that, we kind of have decided a couple of those new fermenters are just dedicated to making these staples that everyone, when we first started, we were kind of committed to not just arbitrarily picking flagship beers and then pushing them on everybody and saying, these are the beers that you should like. Mm-hmm. And so instead, we've kind of let it flow and kind of have let the people choose through sales and through, I guess, critical acclaim to some degree. And just to, a big part of it is sales. Right. And so that helps it. It makes, you know, now we're making the beer that people truly do want, and we're not, you know, trying to convince them of that.
Of course, that says something.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put a whole lot of pressure on you, but I'm hoping that there's a cool story in how a beer gets named. You talked about before the show how there was a lot of crowdsourcing that went into picking the logo that you've got. I believe it was you had a Kickstarter fund to help you get launched initially. Do you crowdsource the names of your beers?
Not always. Good. Sometimes there's, you know, a lot of – it depends on where the beer – so I brew all the beer – but occasionally, like, we'll have staff, maybe they want to brew a certain style of beer, and so they'll give me, you know, I want to brew a couple weeks ago, one of my partners said, I want to brew a Belgian triple. And so we do a staff brew day, we bring in all the staff, and on a Sunday, we all sit down and brew this beer together. And then, so that kind of stuff, we usually let them name themselves. So, but other times, it's just something, you know, it's like I said, you're walking around and you just had this idea. So we had this really sour beer, our first truly barrel sour beer that was going to come on right around Thanksgiving, I think it was. And I was sitting around, I was thinking of the name of it, and my wife suggested a few things. Like, she had a really cool name that revolved around, like, the enzyme in your mouth that lets you taste sourness. but unfortunately, as I'm looking, and you know, there's a lot that goes into this, because I'm looking around making sure no other breweries use it. I'm also looking around and finding out, though, that this is also associated with, like, a genetic disorder, and there's other negative aspects of this. So, like, well, okay, we can't use that. And then, like, a rerun of The Simpsons comes on, and it's...
whenever you need inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. Pop culture, yeah. And so I'm thinking about that a little bit, and I remember the episode where Lisa's trying to be a vegetarian, and nobody else in the house wants to be a vegetarian, and so they're doing a conga line through the living room, and they're singing, "You Don't Win Friends with Salads." And, you know, for me, I have a really complex relationship with sour beer in our brewery because... you know, we talked a little bit earlier before this started about how sour beer is like the next up-and-coming thing, and I feel like sometimes people don't know exactly what they're asking for when they want that. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, you don't win friends with sours. Like, that's a perfect thing because I can't, you know, people ask for them, but then, you know, they're not sour enough, they're too sour. Right. And so they're so complex of a thing that, you know, and it worked out really well, and so many people got that reference. I didn't think that many people had watched Simpsons right. that long that they would know. And so sometimes, yeah, it's just like pop culture. Sometimes it's puns. I mean, unfortunately, puns are the lowest form of humor. And so, you know, we try to stay away from them, but sometimes it's hard to resist a good pun. Of course.
So among the 85 beers that you have brewed in Triptych's history, obviously you were saying the people kind of have voted for the beers that they want to be the staples, but are there beers among those that were kind of your favorites or the ones that kind of stood out to you most in terms of what you've created?
Yeah. I mean, I think a really important aspect of what I do there is that I'm proud of all of the beer and I'm proud of every beer. And if I'm not proud of it, then we don't serve it. It doesn't go on. And we've been really fortunate that we've never had anything... you know, just go so sideways or so wrong that we couldn't serve it. And so, you know, I'm always happy with the beers we're making, but there are a number of beers that I'm a lot more interested in drinking, like especially at times, like in the summertime, the lighter styles of beer. Last year we made a Kolsch that was just so, just spot on in my mind. Like it reminded me of being Köln in Germany and tasting these beers. And I was like, oh, this is so, you know, and it's that thing where you drink the beer and it just triggers this memory and this, you know, mnemonic response of, you know, there's this one of the brewers, the brewer in New Belgium says that beer is you know 10 seconds of pleasure. And so, you know, I think sometimes we sit down and we dissect these beers so much when really, you know, they're made, you know, drink it in 5 or 10 minutes and then you go on to the next one. And then craft beer culture especially is a variety and it's not, you know, the nice thing, you're not locked into this one thing. And I think probably part of the reason why we've done 85 beers is because I'm kind of flighty and I, you know, I like to brew, I like to brew a lot of different things. And I like to kind of constantly try out new things and it gives me like a really good excuse to do that. But for me, you know, the lighter beers and hoppy beers, I mean, we've had one of our beers that's around all the time now called Little Secret was kind of something that had a concept of this really light colored pale ale that had these really new hops, like kind of interesting fruity hops and stuff like that. And I brewed it a couple times just for us to drink and the staff really liked it. And we'd drink it by ourselves. And then one day it was literally like one day someone found out about it. And after that it was, you know, it was never in the brewery anymore because the mm-hmm. customers just kept buying it all and drinking it all. And so it's sometimes it's just like that cool little thing where something clicks like that and you don't know exactly why, but a lot of it is based on palate and preference. And then just, you know, refining that based on feedback.
Yeah. So you've got a couple brews here with you. What'd you bring for us?
The first one we had was Dirty Hippie, and that's our English brown ale. And
that was a perfect sound effect.
That was the World Beer Cup winner last year, and that was cool. It was the first time we had entered the World Beer Cup. It's held every other year, every 2 years. Sorry, it's held every even year. And it's an English brown ale. It's low alcohol, usually between 3% and 4%, depending on the batch. We don't always blend it out to make sure it's the low amount of alcohol, but the same amount of alcohol. But the other beer I brought is one of our newest beers. It's another sour beer. It's a raspberry sour beer called Love Bite. And
let me have some of that.
This is first soured in the kettles while we're brewing with lactobacillus. And lactobacillus is the bacteria that makes yogurt, is probably what most people know it from. And then after it was reached a certain amount of sourness, it was fermented with another kind of non-traditional yeast called Brettanomyces. And it gives it like a really ripe fruit, kind of vanilla, trace amounts of smoke, leather. It's kind of funky. I mean, it's probably one of the more unique beers we've done. You know, try to satisfy, like I said, a lot of people are coming in asking for sour beer. And so...
I'm reading here that there's 250 pounds of raspberry puree here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of times I don't sit down and a lot of what I do is still from a homebrewer scale. And so, you know, I don't sit down and think, man, you know, the raspberries alone in this are going to cost $2,000. And until that day, like we're done and I'm sitting down and looking, I'm like, well, what, how much should this beer cost when we sell this? I'm like, holy moly. That's not, you know, well, whatever. This is, you know, it's a concept beer. And it's like, you know, the concept album that takes 10 years to make. I don't, you know, once the beer's out, it's fine. And then we can move on to the next thing.
Is there a way that one is supposed to taste beer when one's sampling it?
You know, taste is so much smell. And so, you know, really start with the smell and you think about, you know, kind of things you're smelling. And then as you taste it, you know, bitterness is usually the last thing you taste because of the arrangement, supposed arrangement of taste buds on your tongue. But the bitterness is kind of the last thing you taste. And a beer like this, though, once you open up your mouth again, you get kind of a that inrush of air again kind of opens up all these different, you know, more complex kind of farmyard, you know, really interesting, funky flavors. I don't think there's a right way or a wrong way, but, you know, mostly when you're evaluating beer, you always kind of do like the smell, the appearance, like you look to see if it's cloudy, what color it is, what the head's like, how long the head lasts. I mean, there's this whole thing. Occasionally I'll get roped into judging at competitions and, you know, there's this complex sheet that you do and I hate judging beer. I mean, I like just the 10 seconds of pleasure thing. Because I like the 10 seconds of pleasure thing. I just want to like taste it and tell someone what I think and then move on. And these, you know, you spend 10 minutes on one beer. And so you'll spend 10 minutes writing out the score sheet. And then you judge with the, you discuss it with the judge next to you and like, hey, this is what I thought. And this is what I tasted. And what's the arbitrary numerical score that you assign to it? And then, you know, after that, you decide who wins the, you know, who wins the best beer by that. So, as much as I was into competition so much, once I saw kind of behind the curtain and understood how it all works, like I'm not as much interested in all that anymore.
So what other beers do you enjoy around town?
I think we are really fortunate that, you know, beer culture is really taking off here. And kind of not only do we have, you know, a couple breweries here in town now that are... Yeah, three other breweries, JT's and Distill and Blind Pig. You know, we've got them kind of contributing to that kind of interesting fabric of different beers and different flavors. And then we also now have just such a selection from everywhere. And it's due to a lot of the places like Radio Maria and Blind Pig and Big Grove and all these people like focusing on all these available flavors. And so, you know, for me, I kind of fall into latest greatest a lot. I like to taste things I haven't tasted yet. And that... for me, like exploring flavors that I haven't seen or tasted. And there's always some kind of staples that I fall back into. I mean, there's seasonal beers that I always look forward to every year, you know, big stouts and things like that. I'm not really picky, I guess. I mean, you might find me sitting in the beer garden at Mike and Molly's with a PBR. I mean, there's a time and place for all beer, I think, and it's just figuring out what time it is. You know,
sounds like a philosophy.
What time is it?
Yeah, it's beer time. Yeah,
it's beer o'clock.
Yeah, you just have to figure out which beer it is.
So where's the? I mean, is there like an end game here? Is there like full spectrum dominance of microbrewing? Is there like?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think a big part of what we're doing is growing organically and growing to meet demand and not just growing to grow. And so, I mean, we started out insanely small and. I was reflecting the other day, actually, that, you know, we've this last batch of fermenters that we added, we've quadrupled our initial capacity from what we started at. And I could never have thought that in the first 20 months that, you know, we would have grown that fast. And I'm, to be honest, like, I'm a little uncomfortable growing much faster than that because there's so many things that go into it. So we just swapped out a bunch of our brewing equipment, too. And every time you do that, then some of the recipes need to be recalibrated. Some of the things need to change based on the equipment that's changing. And so... you know, to be honest, I just can't keep up with doing that all the time and changing out all the brewing equipment all the time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think there's some really cool big things on the horizon. You know, right now we don't have any beer in like liquor stores, you know, in cans or bottles. So I think that's something with this extra capacity that we're really, really focused on. I think just though, like growing at this kind of sustained rate and improving the quality of the beer. I mean, I'm constantly... just pushing myself to, I mean, keep improving. I think there's always room for improvement even after you taste it. And, you know, this is the perfect, you think this is the perfect beer, but to me, I want to just keep...
Find the next one.
Yeah. And so I just want to keep, you know, I want to brew this again and again and again and keep refining it. So for us, you know, keep on keeping on. That's a big part of what we're going to do.
What about location? Do you anticipate staying in Savoy, or do you think you might head to one of the cities someday?
You know, a big part of our location and our placement out there is that, you know, we're Champaign County's only licensed microbrewery, and everyone else is a brew pub, and there's a lot of baggage that comes along with that in terms of, you know, you're competing with bars and restaurants and stuff. And when your focus is distribution like us, you know, it's important that you're not competing for foot traffic with restaurants and bars that you serve beer to. That you sell beer to. And so for us, I think we will always be in kind of an outlying area. Will we always be on 1703 Woodfield Drive? I don't know. Right now it's a good fit for us. The space is really good. And for the foreseeable future, I think we will. There's a chance, though, if we need to go to the next step and we need bigger space or more elaborate space, that maybe we'll build a second location or something like that out in somewhere in the country or something. Mm-hmm. But.
So just in the last few minutes, tell us real briefly about the tap room. You can go to 1703 Woodfield Drive and taste some of these, get a growler, take it home.
So we run a tap room in Savoy. It's on Woodfield Drive, which is a block west of Dunlap or Neal Street as you go into town. It's a couple blocks north of the Savoy 16 movie theater, the IMAX theater. And it's kind of set back. It's kind of a hidden secret. We have limited hours, 3 to 10 Monday through Thursday, 3 to 11 on Friday, and 12 to 11 on Saturday. We're closed on Sundays. And you can come in there. We don't serve food. You can get flights of beer, which is little samples, 4 samples, 4 ounce tastes, or you can get pints of beer. And you can fill growlers. You can fill cans. We offer 32 ounce cans called growlers there. And it's kind of a place to hang out. Our servers all know a lot about the beer. I mean, like I said, once a month they come in and brew the beer with me. And so they all know way more than they ought to know about it. And they love talking about it. And they love talking about beer in general. And they love talking about the other stuff that's available in town. And so it's just kind of a beer place. It's a place to hang out and drink beer, talk about beer, and play games. People bring in pizza. There's a lot of different places that deliver food there. We're totally cool with all that.
Nice.
It's just a pretty low-key place. And at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, we kick you out, and you go do something else, and we go home. So
fantastic. Anthony Benjamin, manager, brewer, owner of Triptych Brewery. Thanks so much
for having me.
Thanks for bringing some brews with you.
No problem. Yeah.
You've been listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is, of course, the only place to go for things local. So check it out. And also go to Facebook.com/SmilePolitelyRadio and like Smile Politely Radio. We want your likes because we are attention live radio. to play us out tonight, we've got a track from The Fights, who, if you are so inclined, you can head on down to 1703 Woodfield Drive, grab, have a brew, and then keep on going down to Tolono at the Loose Cobra. You can catch The Fights tonight playing down that way at 9 p.m. This is a track by them called Ain't Scared. Thanks for listening. Stick around for Hip Hop Express coming up next.
Well, mother, I regret.